Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
We're in a new series this week, and we're starting it called, it's on Philippians. Say Philippians. Philippians is a fun book. In fact, scholars believe that Philippians is the happiest book in the Bible. In fact, you might say, well, how do you know that? Well, because the word joy, glad, enjoy, rejoice, happy, happiness is found 17 times in four verses. Now, how many know when you watch the evening news or open your iPhone up and the news is trickling through right there? How many want to know we need some happiness right now? We need something to kind of, or how many of you guys love what? How many of you guys just feel so good after you watch the news? How many feel like you have to take a bath after you watch the news? How many like are going like, I want to shut the news off? I want to give you a challenge. Maybe this month, in fact, the next 9 weeks, we don't typically do 9 week series, but we're going to walk through chapter by chapter, verse by verse, the book of Philippians the next 9 weeks. And as we do that, I want to challenge you. Maybe shut the news off and read the good news. Read the book of Philippians over and over. Let it get in your spirit. Paul is contagious in this book. Paul wrote this book while he's in jail. How many want to know, if you can write a book that says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice while you're in jail, there's something inside of you that's not based upon your happenings, but based upon beyond that. And so we're going to look at the happiest book in the Bible. We're going to look at the book that was written when Paul was in Rome. He wrote a book to the church in Philippi. He planted this church. And we'll talk a little later on. It wasn't a happy experience for him. But how many want to know our experiences should not be dependent upon how full of joy we are. And so I want to encourage you again, bring your Bibles the next 8 weeks, whether it's a tree Bible or e-Bible, and we want to look at this. But if I was to ask people on the street, I was to go down, not that the streets are full without tourism, okay? How many of you guys have been downtown and thought, Lord, touch our businesses downtown? But if I was to go downtown and ask people, so tell me, what makes you happy? Now, if I'm just doing a random person on the street interview, I'm probably going to get people like, well, money would make me happy, relationships or sex or time. You know, if I had more time or if I lived in Hawaii in February in Alaska, right? You know, I was driving down the road the other day. I said to my daughter, Peyton, who's 9, or no, she's 10, excuse me, almost 11. She'll tell you that if you ask her. I said, so what do you like the most about Fairbanks? She goes, I love the winters. And I high-fived her and I said, I love you and I love the winters too. But if you ask people, it might be their location, where they live, their vocation, their fame. But what would you start with? What if I said, what would make you happy or full of joy? What would you start with? Paul, he looks, as Paul writes the book of Philippians, Paul starts out with relationships. Now, I know we just finished a marriage series, but when you do an exegetical book study, you just got to preach what's there. Paul starts out talking about relationships and, in fact, healthy relationships. Because how many want to know, if you're in an unhealthy relationship, you're probably not full of happiness. Anyone ever been in a difficult relationship? And it kind of sucked the joy out of you, like emotional vampires just sucked the life out of you. I want to look at Philippians chapter 1 this morning, the first 11 chapters, and let's read it. It'll be on the screens there, or you can follow along in your Bible. It says, I thank my God. This is Paul in verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with what? Joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you, all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you sharing God's grace with me, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Let's pray real quick. Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this text. And I pray today as we unpack these eight verses that, Lord, they'll leap off the pages of our Bible and onto our hearts, and it would begin to speak to us and encourage us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to talk about this series is really, I think, about habits. Habits that we develop, because happiness is not because of circumstances. Happiness is because of choices we make. And you can choose to be about as happy as you want to be. It's not based upon the circumstances or the stuff that goes around you, or the news media, or where you live. Happiness is a choice. And so I want to talk about four relational habits today, or choices we have in relationships, that I believe Paul, that we can pull from the scripture, that I believe that really will help us know how to develop some habits to change our world around us. I don't know about you. You can't change the world, but you can change yourself. And if you change yourself, you might be able to change your family or those closest to you. And if you change your family, we might be able to change our city. And if we can change our city, we'll probably change the world. But it doesn't happen because we want to change the world. It happens because we change ourselves. And so the four keys to enjoying people. How many know some of you need to enjoy people more? How many of you guys have some unenjoyable people in your life? Don't wave your hands. Okay, you can if you want. You know, I remember I love comics. I used to read comics for fun. I was single for quite a while, so I thought, well, let's have some joy. And I would read comics, and I'd put them in file folders, and I was going to write a book someday with comics to illustrate every point. And I remember this one comic I had, that Snoopy was laying down on top of his doghouse. You ever see that Snoopy con? You know, Snoopy's laying on his doghouse with a thought bubble up there. Well, this particular one had a thought bubble that says, "Life would be great if it wasn't for people." And I, you know, and so sometimes there's difficult people in us. And I had a friend once that said, people are a lot like porcupines. There's a lot of fine points, but they're hard to hug. And so let's talk about how do we deal with porcupine people? How do we enjoy the people around us? Because I believe Paul gives us biblical principles that will change our relationships forever. Number one, the first thing Paul says is this: be grateful for the good in people. In verse 3, he says this: I thank my God every time. Say every time. Every time. I remember you. Every time he remembered someone, he thanked God for the person he remembered. Now, how many of you have ever had mind monsters in your mind? And how many of you guys would be honest enough to say, there's sometimes I think of people and I don't thank God for them. There's times I thank God they're not near me at the time. And I'm not saying that. You're saying that. I'm just putting words in your mouth here. He says, I thank my God. I'm full of gratitude every time I remember you. Now here's the deal. This is a simple truth, but it's hard to do. In fact, all of this truth today is going to be simple and understandable, but it's going to be very hard where the rubber meets the road to do it. How many of you know that's it's easy to know up things up here, and it's okay to feel them right here. It's really hard sometimes to do it right here. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. And so let me ask you a real honest question. Is gratitude the first thought that comes to your mind when you think of people that you don't maybe enjoy? Paul was in prison when he's in Philippi. Paul went through a difficult experience planting a church in Philippi. And he says, every time I think of you, I thank God for you every time. Now, what does that mean? He's grateful for who they are. He's grateful for what they've done. Here's the problem with this, though, is sometimes, you know, even the people we've had great relationships with, we don't always think to thank God for them when we think about them, because we almost get so used to being around people that sometimes we forget to thank God for the good and what we know about the people around us. We get to take them for granted. Now, here's the fact about Paul in Philippi. Paul planted a church there. He was beaten in Philippi. He was whipped in Philippi. He was humiliated in Philippi. He was thrown into prison in Philippi, chained between two guards. He went through an earthquake in Philippi. He was politely asked by the city leaders to leave Philippi. Yet every time he thought of them, he did what? He thanked God for them. He had what I call selective memory. I heard a story once where two women were talking, and one of the wives said to the other wife, "Do you remember the time your husband did that?" And she just says, "I distinctly remember forgetting that." She chose to have selective memory. Friends, comes a time when if you want to experience all the joy that God has for you, you may have to practice this thing called selective memory, where I'm going to choose to forget that and remember to thank God for the good and thank God for who you are, not what you've done. See, memories are a choice. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "You've helped me from the very first day until now." He's not thinking about all the difficult circumstances. He's thinking, "You helped me. You did good for me." He's thinking through those things. So here's a lesson for you. It's on your notes here. Remember the best and forget the rest. Remember the best and forget the rest. Now, how many of you know that that's a simple, Mark, that's kind of a cliche. I like cliches. I like those little things that are quick, you know, like Proverbs. I love those little things, pithy sayings. But here's the reality. It's easy to say, it's really hard to do. But Paul's saying, I thank God for you every time I remember you. Think the best and forget the rest. Develop selective memory. I think if we had that, how many think if you had selective memory, things would go better in some areas? The second principle, the second truth that Paul talks here is he teaches us to practice positive praying. In verse 4, he says this, "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy." Now, notice it says, "In all my prayers for all of you," it says, P-R-A-Y with joy. It doesn't say, P-R-E-Y with joy. Anyone ever been around someone who's been hurt by someone? And it's easy to pray upon that person, P-R-E-Y, not pray for the person. You ever been around those people that can nurse their problem and rehearse their problem and curse their problem, and they can remember, they don't think about the best, they think about the rest, not the best. They don't forget the rest. They remember the rest, not the best, and Paul's saying, hey, I want to break a cycle here. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. So not only does he thank God for who they are, he prays for those people with excitement. That there's something that God's going to do in their heart and in their life that's positive, that's powerful. Well, what I think that might change how we see people. If all of a sudden we pray a little bit differently, it's not positive thinking we need positive praying. And we need to be grateful for the people in our life, but I also need to pray with joy for the people in my life. Not, Lord, change them. Lord, I pray you bless them. In fact, the Bible in Luke chapter 6, it says, bless those who curse you and pray for those who what? Mistreat you. And that word bless, it's the Greek word eulogy. It's where we get the word eulogy from. You ever been to a funeral where someone stands up and says, yeah, this person was a real sucker. They were miserable. You're probably here because they were mean to you. They stole from you. You know, you never been to a funeral where they pull up all the bad the person's ever done? It's not like they go and say, now, who are the three people that are gonna say the worst thing about Joe? Because today we wanna make sure Joe's true heritage is announced. A eulogy is when you bless someone, you pull the good out. And so bless those who curse you. If people have hurt you, you find the good and you bless them and you say, Lord, and I think what Paul is saying, hey, when I pray for all of you, I always pray with joy. I'm thinking about the good. I thank God for who you are. And now I'm praying a blessing over you. I'm praying with joyful thoughts over you that God has great things in store for you. Now, how many want to know you can pray for people and prayer doesn't always change the other person? Prayer changes the prayer. You? So let me give you a secret. There are things in people's lives all around that you probably want to change. Anyone ever wanted to change someone around you? Anyone saw something in someone around you you kind of like to change? And you kind of just, you know, so you say things and do things. And if they would just do this, she would just do that, or, you know, but how many want to know your change program doesn't work? Most of us can't even change our own habits. But you can pray. And you can pray with joy. See, positive praying is effective. And so write this helpful hint down on your notes here. Lesson number two, the quickest way to change the relationship from bad to good is to start thanking God in prayer for them. God, I thank you. And in fact, Paul teaches how to pray in here. It's great to say, let's pray positive prayers. But we find in verses 9 through 11, it says, and this is my prayer. This is a prayer he prays over people. You want to pray with joy for people. He says this, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that, in other words, if your love abounds more and more, this is what's going to manifest. This is what's going to come from that, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. In other words, he's saying, hey, I pray that God's love would explode inside of you, be more and more and more, so that. Doesn't say, oh, I pray that because of how mad they made me, that this and this and this, that they'd be hurt. He says, I pray that God's love would be so full that from that love, you would discern what's best, discern what's pure. And it says, and filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. He gives us four things to pray for. So if you have difficult relationships in your life, here's four things to pray over them that are biblical. Number one, pray that they would grow in love, that your love would abound more and more, and you'd understand the nuances, the depths, and the width, the breadth of God's love. How many want to know God's love? You can't even search. The deepest ocean can't. That's God's love. You can't find the bottom of God's love. I pray they'd grow in love. Secondly, you pray that they'd make wise choices. You'd be able to discern what's best. God, I pray that they would discern what's best. Lord, and this is a prayer you can pray over your kids, pray over your spouse, pray over your coworkers, pray over the difficult people in your life. God, I pray that they would make wise choices. They discern what's best. And thirdly, they do the right things. God, that they would be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. Lord, I pray. How many want to know when you're praying prayers like this, you're praying God's will right over their life. You're praying the scripture over their life. And number four, I pray you to live for God's glory. He says this, I pray you're filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. In other words, I pray that your life would be so filled that God's glory would just emanate from you. And how many want to know when you pray prayers like this, it's probably a little easier to thank God for who the person is because you're actually praying God's scripture over them. So again, the first habit is to begin to thank God for the people in your life. The second one is to pray positive prayers. And the third habit to pray over people, or the third habit is to be patient with people's progress. guys ever remember back when I was a kid, we had record players. And my daughter has a record player because she thinks it's vintage. It was before the CD player. Remember that? And we had the record player, and it was salty. And remember those old days, you know, salty? And I think it was salty. It was be patient, don't be in such a hurry. I don't remember that song. And what was it, Heidi? I don't know if it was a music machine. I don't know what it was, but it was a record player. My mom would put it on, and we'd sing along with his kids, getting ready to go to the barn or whatever in the morning. But we have to be patient with other people's progress. Anyone here? Well, I won't ask that question. Yeah, I will. Anyone here have a hard time being patient? Let me just encourage you. If you have a hard time with patience, come to the altar today and say, "God, give me patience." How many want to be careful when you pray prayers like that? Oh, God, I want to grow. And God puts you in a difficult circumstance. God, get me out. And God's going, you asked to grow, so I put you in a difficult place. You asked for patience, God's going to put some difficult people around you. You're like, oh, snap. God, I didn't mean like that. Like, just give it to me, like a blood transfusion, right? And God's going, it doesn't come like that. Wouldn't it be great if God zapped us at an altar and took care of all our problems, we never had to work hard? I don't think any prayer is sincere unless you walk away from an altar and ask God, and you do everything in your power to make the answer happen. You pray as if everything depends upon God, but you walk away and work as if everything depends upon you. But this third principle is, it's Lord, I help me. Be patient with people's progress. And again, this is simple to teach and simple to understand, but super difficult to do. We don't normally expect the best from people around us. We expect the worst. Well, they're late. Well, they're always late. That's just who they are. They're late people. Or, you know, and we have a, but Paul says something in Philippians 1:6. I'm confident of this, that God, who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. In other words, you're not who you are yet, but I know that I have the patience of God, that I'm confident that God is doing something in you. Right now, I can't see it, but I know my God is not stopped yet. He's not finished yet. He's. In other words, you have to start saying, God, I want to see your vision for these people, not what I see with my two eyes right here, good or bad, bifocals, trifocals, transition lens, stigmatism, it doesn't matter. God, let me see people for who you see them as. But I'm confident, God, that you, he who began a good work in this person is faithful to bring it to completion. In other words, there's still work happening, and God's in the process. And I've been praying for them and thanking God every time I remember them. I think of the best and not the rest. And I pray with joy as God, and that their love would abound more and more in grace and knowledge. And God, I'm going to be patient, because I'm going to look for the good and not all the worst right now, because I believe you're doing something in this person's life. See, if you insist on perfection in people, we're going to be miserable the rest of our life. How many know that? None of us are perfect, and other people aren't perfect. And so if we're always expecting perfection in people before you can enjoy them, we're probably not going to be happy with their progress. So God, help me enjoy this person as I'm confident that God is working in their heart and life. Paul says, I'm patient with people's progress because I'm confident that God is working. Here's the lesson in this. Lesson 3, God is not finished with people. How many are thankful that God's not finished with people? How many are thankful God's not finished with you? How many are thankful God's not finished with your spouse? Say amen. No, don't. Here's our mistake. Our mistake is we judge others by how far they have to go rather than how far they've come. Let me say it again. We judge others by how far they have to go rather than how far they've come. I mean, you have a long ways to go, and God's going, look and realize how far they've come, and know that, be confident that he began a good work, is still working. He's going to continue to work until he comes back at the day of Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad you're a piece of work? And God's working on your piece? God's working on us. I think it was John Maxwell who said it once, we judge others by their actions and ourselves by our intentions. You ever had someone do something like, why'd you do that? And someone asks us, well, why'd you do that? Well, I didn't mean to. What I meant to do was this. In other words, we judge others by their actions and ourselves by our intentions, not, I wonder what their intentions were. The fourth principle as we draw to close here is love people from the heart. Love people from the heart. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, it says this, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. Say heart. So I have you in my heart. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Now, if you have your tree Bible, circle that in my heart. Circle that. Fold this over. Earmark it. Do whatever. If you have your digital Bible, highlight it. Underline it if you can. But it says, I feel this way because I have you in my heart. And God can testify how I long for all of you with the affections of Christ. In other words, the key to relational happiness or joy is having people in your heart. Now notice, he didn't say, I have you on my nerves. So I have you in my heart. If people aren't in your heart, they're on your nerves. There's a difference between in your heart and on your nerves. And if I want to get them off my nerves, I have to get them in my heart. And I think if we backtrack, the way you get them in your heart is God, help me when I think of that person to thank you for that person. God, I want to have gratitude that every person you put in my life and every person you put in my path is here to help develop the God inside of me. And God, I pray with joy over this person. And God, I pray their love would abound more and more, that they'd make good choices, they'd make wise decisions, their life would be filled with the fruit of God and not those other things. And Lord, I pray right now that I would see, and I'm confident that let me be patient with where people are at in the process. I see how far they've come. And Lord, I wanna love people with all my heart so they're not on my nerves. See, again, if people are on your nerves, you see, here's the deal. You ever had someone say, you just don't understand me? You ever had that happen? What they're saying is, you don't feel what I'm feeling right now. You don't understand me. They're not talking about understanding. What they're really saying is, you don't feel my pain. You don't see the situation. You don't look through the same lens as I look at. It has nothing to do with understanding. It has everything to do with empathy. And when someone says, you don't understand, step back and go, yes, I understand. Step back and say, so help me understand what you're walking through right now. Because maybe there's a reason they're on your nerves, because they're not in your heart. God, I want to know what they're walking through. I want to have some empathy. I want to see where they're at. Help me divide. Help me be sympathetic. Help me be empathetic. Help me care. Help me feel what they're feeling right now. Not like literally feeling, but help me have some empathy here. Help me identify with where they're at so I can understand what they're walking from. Because here's the thing. Unless you get off your island and get on their island, you don't know what they're living through. You don't know what they're walking through. You don't know what they're going through. And Paul is saying, I love you. He says this. He says, it's right for me to feel because I have you in my heart. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affections of what? Christ. God's helped me find a love for you. I've got God's heart for you. That's different than... Then God just let me love the people around me. No, listen, I've got you in my heart, and God can testify that the affections of Christ are flowing through me right now. The context. Paul wrote this while in Rome, in prison, to a community where he tried to plant a church. Things didn't go well. He was asked to leave the community, and he goes, every time I think of you, I thank God for you. I pray with joy. In other words, he put the pain aside. He had selective memory, and he was able to move forward. Here's the final lesson as we close. The secret to enjoying the people in my life is to be filled with God's love. Guys, these are simple principles, but hard practices. Simple principles, hard practices. Like, I got to do this, God. We got to do this. Can I pray over you as the ushers come? Lord, I thank you for this day. Help us to be men and women who develop habits that help us in the areas of relationships of life. I thank you for that. Help us to enjoy the people around us. Help us to pray for the people around us. Help us to think of the best and not the rest. Help us to filter that out and have people in our hearts, not just on our nerves, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.